learning Sefer Tehillim with the Am Lowe's commentary by Rabbi Shmuel Yerushalmi. This is shir number 2. We are learning Zecha Nishmas in memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 2, Pasuk 10. V'yato melochim haskilu hi vasru shoftei oritz. So now, O kings, be wise, be admonished, you judges of the earth. King David addresses the kings who come to make war against him. So now, O kings, be wise. Know that you do not have the power to set aside the acts of Hashem. He has commanded me to be king. How dare you come together against Hashem? Be wise enough to realize that you cannot set aside the acts of God. Even if until now you have been foolish to think otherwise, be admonished, O Siru, you judges of the earth. Be wise now and accept moral admonition, Musar. Cease your arrogance. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Irdu es Hashem beyira vegilu beradam. Serve Hashem with fear and rejoice with trembling. Earlier, King David said about the kings of the earth that they had come forth against Hashem and His anointed. Now He tells them, first and foremost, serve Hashem with fear, and you will merit all good things. Second, rejoice with trembling. You will be joyous after you will have served Hashem with trembling. There will be joy in the midst of trembling, rather than the joyousness of laughter and frivolity. Although it is in Hashem's power to punish you with rods and scorpions, that is not what He desires. His will is that you repent. Be admonished and serve Hashem. Serve Hashem with fear. Serve Hashem in the state of apprehension. At all times be fearful that you did not serve Him properly, that you had done less than what was required of you. This is the right kind of trembling. Be joyous about it. This represents the calibre of Yaakov's worship, who as a servant of Hashem was always fearful of calamity caused by sin. If you have attained this level of trembling, which is more than fear, rejoice at your condition. If you are imbued with the fear of heaven, serve Hashem with fear. Your fear of heaven is to be for the sake of heaven, part of your worship. Do not serve Hashem for the sake of material wealth or honor. If your physical well-being delights you, then in this too rejoice with trembling. Even in the midst of your rejoicing at the plentiful things of this world, there is to be trepidation. This is the perfected way of serving Hashem. Be wise, be admonished. Serve Hashem with fear. Know that a certain amount of trouble you serve in this world is beneficial, provided you serve Hashem in fear and awe and accept all things with love. Rejoice with trembling. Our sages infer from this verse that one is not to stand before Hashem in prayer except out of joy and earnest devotion. Where there is rejoicing, there is also to be trembling. Serve Hashem in gladness, simcha. The letters of the word besimcha are the same as those of machshava, thought. It is indicated that attaining perfection in one's thought brings gladness. Serve Hashem with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Compare it to a rebellious son who began to tremble when his father was about to punish him. Said the father, "It would have been better had you trembled earlier and behaved properly. You would have spared yourself the present trembling." Accordingly, King David says here, serve Hashem with fear, and you will then rejoice with trembling. In another sense, the verse says, you will be glad in the trembling that overcomes the wicked. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Nashku var penyena. Worship in purity, lest he be angered and you perish on the way, for his wrath may flash soon. Happy are those who put their trust in him. King David continues his admonition of all those who have come out against his anointed, the Mashiach. Worship in purity. Nashkuvah, he tells him, the word nashku means literally you kiss, alludes to the custom of kissing the hand of a king as an expression of homage. Lest he be angered with an awful fury and you perish on the way, for his wrath may flash soon. This is the opposite of what happens to those who place their trust in Hashem. Happy are those who put their trust in Him. With the interpretation that the scripture is speaking of the Messianic age, David calls for the nations to welcome with a kiss of deference the Son of the One that has clean hands and a pure heart. This refers to the Mashiach, son of David, and the condition of the Jewish people at the time of the redemption. As it says, "And all that despise you will bow down at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of Hashem," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. "Let them do so at once. Let Hashem's anger flash soon, and they perish on the way to the final redemption." In a related sense, the scripture says, "Nashku var, cleave to God with pure hearts, penyana, lest Hashem choose the way of affliction and you lose your way. Then you will not find Him." Possible alternate meaning: if then the Jewish people will not cleave to Hashem with pure hearts, their suffering will cause them to despair of the coming of the Mashiach. In this context, based on the meaning of bar as grain, our sages engage the following parable. A quarrel once arose between the straw, the chaff, and the stubble, each claiming that the field was sown for its sake. "Just wait till the harvest," said the wheat. "You will see for yourselves." Harvest time arrived, and the owner of the field began the process of winnowing. The wind blew away the chaff, the straw was thrown down to the ground, and the stubble was burnt. He then gathered all the wheat into a great heap, and everyone who passed by kissed it. Thus it says here, "Nashku bar penyenav," kiss the bar, the grain, that is the Jewish people, lest he, the owner of the grain, that is the owner of Israel, be angered. Another reading says, "Nashku var, kiss the son," bar being son in Aramaic. A king was angry at his subjects, but his son intervened on their behalf, and they were reconciled. When the people then came to chant a haim to their king, he said to them, "You come to me with a haim? Go chant it to my son. If not for him, I would have destroyed the country." Similarly, the nations of the world want to chant a haim to God, as it says, "O clap your hands, O you peoples." But Hashem says to them, "You desire to chant a haim to me? Go and chant it to Israel. If not for them, you would not endure for a single hour." As it says, "Sing aloud, O you nations of his people." Accordingly, the scripture says here, "Kiss the son, the Jewish people who are my son, my firstborn." Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemot. "For if not for them, I would have annihilated you when my wrath flashed against you. Their merit protected you." In the first psalm, King David described the perfect of man who is in the heart of creation and its special treasure. The rest of mankind is like the chaff that protects the grain. So long as the chaff continues to fulfill this function, it continues to be useful. But when it is separated from the fruit, the wind drives it away. Similarly, it is the responsibility of all other men to protect the tzaddik. The whole world was created for no other reason but to fulfill this function, to provide a physical and social environment for the righteous person. Accordingly, in the present psalm as well, David, King David, speaks out against the nations and the peoples who chaff to rebel against the royal house of David and rid itself of this yoke. "Literally kiss the grain," he tells them, "remain attached to the wheat kernel, cleave to the man who is the chosen of God, lest he be angered and you perish on the way." Only by being faithful to their task of providing for and protecting the tzaddik will they be spared the affliction of God's wrath. Accordingly, our sages declare that the psalm, first one, "Happy is the man," and the psalm, "Why are the nations in uproar," comprise a single psalm. Happy are those who put in their trust in him. This pertains to the Messianic age, as it says, "Happy is he that waits and comes," a pasuk that's found in Daniel. The Medrash says, "Not like the measure of a creature of flesh and blood is the measure of Hashem." When a man is angry, he is not at the same time good-willed and well-disposed, and when he's good-willed and well-disposed, he's not angry. But Hashem, even when his wrath may flash soon against those who worship idols, happy are those who put their trust in him. King David began the very first psalm with Ashrei, "Happy is the man," and here he ends the second psalm with the word Ashrei. happy are those. Appropriately, the Talmud says that these two psalms are joined. Happy is the man, and happy are those comprise a single psalm. It begins and ends with Ashrei. Similarly, every psalm that was particularly dear to David would begin and end with happy is the man. Chapter 3, Pasuk 1. Mizmor le David bevorcho b'nei Avshalom eno. Psalm of David when he fled from his son Avshalom. The previous psalm affirmed the eternal continuation of the royal house of David. I have set my king on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. It is followed by this psalm which speaks of David's trust in God. His faith remained steadfast even when his son Avshalom drove him from his throne and pursued him. This reveals the intent of this psalm, which is to instill hope in every heart. Just as Hashem saved David when he fled from his son Avshalom, who almost took his life, so would he save his descendants after him and also bring deliverance to the Jewish people. The scripture relates that when David fled from Avshalom, he went up to the accent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went, as found in Shemuel Beis. Says the Medrash, David was weeping and chanting this psalm. He was asked, if you are weeping, why are you chanting? And if you are chanting, why are you weeping? To what can this be compared? A king was angry at his son and sent him away. He then sent his teacher after him, who found him weeping and singing. If you are weeping, why are you singing? Asked the teacher. The son replied, I weep because I angered my father, but I sing because he did not have me executed. Not only did he not kill me, but he sent me away to be among the dukes and the princesses. Under the circumstances, why does it say a psalm of David? It should have said a dirge of David. Rabbi Shimon ben Avshalom explained, to what can this be compared? A man had to repay an outstanding loan. Not saying that before he paid it he was sad, after he paid it he was glad. Similarly, when Hashem said to David, behold, I will raise up evil against you, he was troubled. Perhaps a slave or someone's bastard son would rise up against me, and they show no mercy. But when he saw that it was Absalom, he recited the psalm, for a son will usually be merciful towards his father. Based on a close reading of the scriptural narrative describing Absalom's rebellion, as found in Shmuel Beis, chapter 17, some note that when Achitophel advised Absalom to surprise King David and kill him, he did not say, your father David, only David. But then, when Absalom asked Hushai the Archite for his opinion, shall we do after his saying, Hushai foiled Achitophel's plan. When addressing Absalom, Hushai said, you know your father. He stressed your father three different times in order to arouse his sentiments, as we find this in Shmuel Beis. Most appropriately, therefore, David chanted this psalm gladly, glad that his adversary was his own son and not someone's slave or bastard upstart. The righteous are glad when they are rebuked by the attribute of justice, whereby they are cleansed of their sins. See the proof in David. When he was stricken by the attribute of justice through the rebellion of his son, he began to rejoice and sing by composing this psalm. The present psalm immediately follows. Happy are those who put their trust in him. The scripture here reflects the teaching of the Talmud that even when the blade of a sword lies pressed against a man's throat, he must not cease praying for mercy. When David chanted this psalm, he demonstrated that happy are those who put their trust in him, even in the midst of tragedy. The story of Absalom's rebellion points to the teaching of our sages that wickedness in one's own household is more terrible than all the wars of Gog and Magog. This psalm is also seen as David's song of thanksgiving for having been able to escape Absalom. He was not taken by surprise and killed. Another interpretation says David composed this psalm because he had been made to experience the same kind of affliction suffered by Yaakov, Moshe, and Leoho. They were all forced to wander from place to place. Similarly, the scripture reveals everywhere that David was made joyful by suffering, as when Solomon said about his father, in Sefer Mishlei, it is a joy to the righteous that judgment is done to him. In the case of Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva, similarly we find that they welcome their suffering. As the Talmud relates that when Rebbe saw his teacher Rabbi Elazar the Great in pain, he was joyful, for suffering elevates the perfected man towards a great good. The scripture conveys that the attempt by Absalom to dethrone David alludes to the war of Gog and Magog against the Mashiach. Thus the Talmud says, why was the chapter of Absalom's rebellion placed next to the chapter on the war of Gog and Magog? Why are the nations in uproar? For if someone will say, can it be that a slave will rebel against his master? Tell him, can it be that a son will rebel against his father? Just as the latter happened, so the former will happen. However, just as deliverance came quickly for David, so deliverance will come for his descendant, the King Mashiach. Accordingly, David ends the present psalm by saying, deliverance is the Lord's. Our blessing be upon your people. This is found at the end of Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Some commentaries explain that David rejoiced when he saw that the judges of the Sanhedrin and his ministers stayed with him, and when Barzillai the Gileadite then came forward with provisions for him and his people, as found in Shmuel Beis. He was also gladdened by the thought that Yaakov had been forced to flee from Esav and Moshe fled from Paro. For both of them, a great good followed their escapes. He put his trust in God that his escape too was for the good. Thus he will go on to say, I remembered your judgment of old, O Lord, and I was comforted. Now it was taught that when a person is stricken as a result of some natural upheaval, his sins are not forgiven. So when David was told that misfortune would overtake him, he was troubled. If a slave or a bastard had risen against him, a natural thing to happen, his sins would not have been forgiven. But when it came clear that Absalom was to be the source of his suffering, an unnatural and unexpected development, he was relieved. Such suffering expiates sin. Thus David said elsewhere, O Hashem, you hid your face and I was distraught. Whenever his affliction stemmed from Hester Panim, Hashem hiding his face, that is, the punishment came in the guise of a natural phenomenon, he was distraught. For such suffering does not bring atonement for sin. But here he chanted a psalm. Although his son was not merciful to him, Hashem so arranged matters that the counsel of Ahitophel was foiled, and Absalom was saved from becoming the instrument to determine David's reign. It was his father's merit in the end that saved him from this evil. Had a slave or someone's bastard son been the conspirator, it would have been otherwise, since these are devoid of ancestral merit to protect them from committing transgression. Some note that if it had been a slave or a bastard, the people would have believed that he was speaking the truth about David, since according to the Torah, he himself could not be elected king, as we find in Chumash Devarim. Now that it was his own son, the people understood that he was driven by ambition to inherit the throne. His denunciation of David must therefore be untrue. So King David chanted this psalm, grateful at least that his adversary was not another but his own son Absalom. At the height of this trouble, David wept and at the same time chanted this psalm, as he says in the following psalm, in my distress you have set me free. Even during his affliction he felt relief. All the psalms that David composed in times of trouble were later sung by the Levium in their holy temple. They stood on the raised platform and exalted God in song and psalm. The present psalm, following as it does the previous psalm that spoke out against the nations, emphasizes David's changed behavior. When faced with the powerful Philistines, he did not flee, but against his powerless son, he was forced to flee. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hashem, mor rabu tsoroi, rabim kamim oloi. Lord, how many are my adversaries? Many are they that rise up against me. Hashem, how many, mor rabu, on our adversaries. The term Rabu may mean many, or may designate importance or distinction, as in one of the Pasukim in Yirmiyahu, it says, in one of the chief officers of the king, Rabbi Hamelech. Here it means both corresponding to the two meanings of Tzoroi, rendered as adversaries. And this part of the pasuk refers to Achitofel and Doeg, who were men of great distinction and high office. However, Tzuri or Tzoroi may also mean troubles, Tzoros, so that David is speaking of his many troubles at this time. It is indicated that King David was confronted with three kinds of enemies. There were the conspirators who planned the rebellion, hence the word Tsar, as in Yavoi Tsar, the Oyev, the adversary Tsar, and the enemy will come, a pasuk found in Megillus Eicha. There were those who assisted them, including the military commanders, and there were the masses of the common people. Doeg and Achitofel and Absalom were his chief adversaries, hence more Rabu Mas Tzoroi, how imposing are my adversaries, and most of the people were on their side. Hence, Rabim Komim Oloi, many are they that rise up against me. The masses of the people all wanted Absalom to be victorious, for Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Pasuk is found in Shmuel Beis. So David refers to them when he says further, many are there that say of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. According to the interpretation of the word Tzoroi as my troubles, Tzorosai, David says, when I reached old age and thought I would be left in peace, there descended upon me this trouble with Absalom. Many a day that rise up against me. According to the Midrash, David says that his adversaries were prominent men. They were physically prominent, tall as birds' nests, and they were prominent in Torah stature. Men like Doeg and Achitofel, and also King Shaul, of whom the scripture says that from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. A pasuk that's found in Shemuel Aleph. When trouble comes, one is usually reminded of similar troubles that happened previously. Similarly here, when David fled from Absalom, he was reminded of the time Doeg and others wanted to expel him from the congregation of Israel because of his descent from Ruth the Moabite. Their intention had been to disqualify him for being king. Accordingly, David says, Lord, how many are my troubles? Many are they that rise up against me. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Rabim omim minashi ein shuasa lo velehim selo. Many are there that save my soul. There is no deliverance for him in God, selah. My enemies speak against me. There's no deliverance for him in God. They say that I am at all times subject to the stern rule of divine judgment, the name Elikim. But they do not know that you, O Hashem, are a shield about me. It's a pasuk that he's going to learn in the next pasuk. You shield me at all times through your attribute of compassion, of the name Yudke Bavke. However, I also call out to the attribute of judgment to answer me. Save me, my God. As the pasuk says, Hoshi'eni Elokai. The attribute of judgment, my suffering, you are a shield about me. Thereby you cleanse me of all sin. David was most anguished because his adversaries came against him in the name of God. They proclaim that he cannot hope to be saved by God in this world, and his soul will not be bound up to the bundle of life in the hereafter. Pasuk is found in Shmuel. This corresponds to the two meanings of the word nafshi, my life, and my soul. In another interpretation, David says, they say that my deliverance in the past was not by God's special intervention on my behalf, but was due to chance. To this I say, not so. The proof is that you, O Hashem, are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. My deliverance from Goliath came about in open display before the people, and it came about instantly. He answers me out of the mountain of his sanctuary, as we will learn in Pasuk 5. To what can this be compared? A father comes to help save his son from an attacker. If the son is beloved, the father acts openly and in front of his son. But if he's a bad son, the father acts only for his own honor and not in front of the son. Here, likewise, Hashem performed miracles on David's behalf in public, making it clear that he acted out of his love for him. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. V'yato Hashem mogein ba'adi kavodi u'meirim roshi. But you, O Hashem, are a shield about me, my glory, and who lifts my head. But you, O Hashem, are a shield about me. It is not as they say that there is no hope for me in this world or in the world to come. The truth is that you, O Hashem, are a shield about me in this world and the world to come. You are my glory and honor, unlike the humiliation I suffered as a result of Absalom's revolt. You are who lifts my head so that I can walk upright. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. With my head held high, you not only guard my honor, lest I be debased, but you also lift my head. Hashem's way is not like the way of flesh and blood. If one man saves another man from death, thereafter he will treat him with abuse and disdain. But you, though you are a shield about me to save me, you are my honor who lifts my head. Thus David says, He, the king's glory is great through your salvation. When God helps someone, it is a great honor for that person. The Midrash says, You are a shield about me in the merit of my forefathers, but it is to my glory that you return me to my throne. Instead of removing my head, which I deserved in the matter of Bathsheba, you lifted up my head to the prophet of Nathan. My adversaries say about me that I am not worthy of God's nearness because of my descent from the Moabites, but in this very thing you are a shield about me, for you are at my side in all my wars. Thereby you lift up my head against my enemies. There's an allusion to David's six-pointed shield. The 6 points correspond to Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Yosef. The scripture says, The Lord is my shield and my horn of salvation. It is my shield different than all other shields, and it is my horn of salvation, an allusion to David's anointment with oil from a horn, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Therefore his kingship endures. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Koli el Hashem ekro vayaneni mehar kacho selah. My voice is to Hashem, I call out, and he answers me out of the mountain of his sanctuary, Selah. His enemies proclaimed that there is no deliverance for him in Hashem, Selah, ever. And David responds, My voice is to Hashem, I call out, and he answers me. Countless times I pleaded before God, and he answered me. He accepted my prayer and saved me. Now, too, he will accept this prayer. My voice is to Hashem, I call out. Whenever I call out to the Lord in prayer, He answers me out of the mountain of His sanctuary, Selah. I am so certain of His deliverance that it is as if He already answers me out of the mountain of His sanctuary, Mount Moriah. This refers to a tradition that the Beis Hamikdash would be built on this site, which explains why when David fled before Avshalom, he fled to the accent of the Mount of Olives. As we find in Shmuel Beis, and there prostrated himself before Hashem. Then again he says, even before I call him, he answers me. Similarly, we find it recorded in the Talmud that when Reb Chiya and his sons recited, he makes the wind blow, the wind blew. They recited, he brings down rain, and rain came. As the prophet says in Yeshayahu, and it will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. How? While they are yet speaking, before they have even asked or pleaded for anything, while only speaking my praises, I will already fulfill their desire. Although Reb Chiya and his sons had only said, He makes the wind blow, they did not actually ask for the wind to blow. The wind already blew. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ani shachafti v'yishono hekitzosi ki Hashem yismacheni. I have lain down and I slept and I woke, for Hashem sustains me. King David goes on to depict his complete trust in Hashem, in contrast with others who live in fear of their enemies. They dare not take to their beds lest the foe appear suddenly. And when they have already lain down, they dare not fall asleep. And when they do sleep, many fail to wake up because they die of fright. But I have lain down, and I slept, and I awoke. How so? For Hashem sustains me. In another sense, David speaks from historical perspective. Please turn tape over to side B.